Welcome to episode 1090 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The first five chapters of Genesis show worship is not just about words, songs, or sacrifices. It begins with relationship and obedience. This week we have explored the following: pre-fall worship, unbroken communion with God in Eden, the first act of sacrificial worship, Abel's faith-filled offering versus Cain's empty ritual, post-fall worship, prayer and calling on God's name as humanity sought restoration, the first life of committed worship, Enoch's intimate walk with God as the ultimate act of devotion. Let's review. Worship before the fall was characterized by perfect communion with God. Adam and Eve worshiped God not through sacrifices or rituals, but through daily lives of obedience, gratitude, and fellowship with Him. Before sin entered the world, worship was pure, direct, and personal. Adam and Eve lived in unbroken communion with their Creator, worshiping Him through their work, obedience, and gratitude. Worship was relational. Adam and Eve experienced direct fellowship with God and the angels. Worship was instructional. God taught them about creation, their role, and His will. There was no need for intercessors or sacrifices, as sin had not yet entered the world. Before the fall, every moment of life was an act of worship. Adam and Eve glorified God by caring for the garden, enjoying His creation, and living in harmony with His will. The Sabbath was instituted at creation, before sin, and was meant to be a time of worship, rest, and fellowship with God. The Sabbath was a sign of God's authority and a reminder of His creative power. The Sabbath was part of God's perfect plan for humanity, not a response to sin. God Himself rested and set the Sabbath apart as a day of worship and delight. The Sabbath was given as a gift to Adam and Eve before sin, showing that it was meant to be an eternal institution. Sabbath rest is a gift, not a burden. Just as Adam and Eve delighted in the Sabbath, we should approach it with joy and gratitude. Worship is a lifestyle, not just a ritual. Before sin, worship was constant communion with God. Our lives should reflect that same devotion. The Sabbath reminds us of God's sovereignty. Keeping the Sabbath is an act of faith, recognizing that God is our creator and sustainer. True worship is about relationship. Like Adam and Eve, we are called to worship God with all our hearts, not just through outward practices. Before sin, Adam and Eve communed with God directly, and worship was expressed through obedience and gratitude. However, after their expulsion from Eden, worship took on a new dimension. It now involved sacrificial offerings that pointed to the future redemption through Christ. After the fall, worship required a blood sacrifice, symbolizing the need for atonement. God had given Adam and Eve clear instructions about sacrificial worship. Abel and Cain both understood that their offerings were to represent the promised Redeemer. Abel's offering of a lamb was accepted because it demonstrated faith in God's instruction and the coming sacrifice of Christ. Abel's worship was centered on faith in the coming Messiah. He obeyed God's prescribed method of worship, offering a blood sacrifice. His offering acknowledged sin and the need for redemption. Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Abel's faith and obedience made his worship pleasing to God. In contrast, Cain's offering was rejected because it was not what God had required. Cain's self-willed approach to worship reflected a heart of pride, rebellion, and disbelief. Cain refused to follow God's instructions. Instead of offering a blood sacrifice, he brought the fruit of the ground, which was not sufficient to atone for sin. Cain's worship was based on human effort, not faith. He relied on his own works rather than submitting to God's will. Cain rejected the necessity of a savior. His offering symbolized a rejection of Christ's atoning blood. Cain and Abel represent two different paths of worship that have existed throughout history. One based on faith and submission, and the other on human pride and self-righteousness. Cain and Abel had the same knowledge, but their choices led to different outcomes. True worship requires faith, humility, and obedience. Cain's approach reflects false worship, worship that is based on works rather than faith in God's provision. When Cain saw that his offering was rejected, rather than repenting, he became angry at Abel. God gave Cain a chance to repent, but he rejected it. Cain's anger led to hatred, which led to murder. False worship can lead to pride and hostility toward true worshipers, a theme that repeats throughout biblical history. Cain became the first murderer because he chose rebellion over repentance. His actions demonstrate the destructive power of self-willed worship. Cain and Abel's offerings represent the first great test of true worship. Abel's faith and obedience made his offering acceptable to God, while Cain's self-willed, faithless worship led to rejection, anger, and ultimately, violence. Their story foreshadows the conflict between true and false worship that continues to this day. As believers, we are called to worship God in spirit and truth, offering our lives in faith and obedience to Christ, the true Lamb of God. Abel's worship points us to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, and his faith calls us to surrender fully to God's will in our worship. After the fall, worship changed dramatically. Before sin, Adam and Eve worshiped God through direct communion, obedience, and gratitude. But after their disobedience, humanity was separated from God's presence and had to seek him through prayer, sacrifice, and calling on his name. Sin created a barrier between humanity and God. Worship now required confession, prayer, and sacrifice. Humanity's longing for restoration became central to worship after the fall. God still pursued a relationship with his creation, calling them to return to him through faith. Sacrificial offerings were a crucial part of worship after sin. They pointed forward to Christ's ultimate sacrifice and demonstrated repentance and faith in God's promise of redemption. Genesis 3, verse 21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. God himself provided the first sacrifice, showing Adam and Eve that blood had to be shed to cover sin. This foreshadowed the future atonement of Jesus Christ. Sacrificial worship was a painful but necessary reminder of the cost of sin. God's provision of garments symbolized both atonement and his mercy. These sacrifices pointed to Jesus, the true Lamb of God. Through sacrifice, prayer, and calling on God's name, humanity sought to restore their relationship with God and express their hope in redemption. Prayer is the foundation of worship. Humanity lost direct communion with God, but prayer allows us to reconnect with him. Calling on God's name is an act of dependence and surrender. As in Genesis 4, verse 26, true worship acknowledges our need for God's grace. Post-fall worship reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. Every offering in Genesis pointed to Jesus, the ultimate atonement for sin. Just as Seth's descendants called on God's name, we must daily seek him through prayer, humility, and faith in his promises. Among Seth's descendants was a man, Enoch, who was committed to worship. Enoch's life was centered around his daily communion with God, and his relationship with God was so deep that he was translated to heaven without seeing death. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. Enoch walked with God for 300 years before he was taken to heaven. Enoch's longing for heaven grew stronger over time. His communion with God was so deep that he was prepared for translation into God's presence. Enoch saw the danger of worldliness and guarded his faith by spending time with God. He did not completely withdraw from society, but he balanced solitude and ministry. Enoch's faithfulness reminds us that believers must be careful about worldly influences while still engaging in ministry. Enoch preached righteousness and warned of coming divine judgment. His message parallels the warnings given to the last generation before Jesus' return. Believers today must strive for holiness, just as Enoch did, in preparation for Christ's coming. Enoch is a prophetic symbol of believers who will be alive when Jesus returns. Just as Enoch was translated to heaven without seeing death, so will the righteous who remain at Christ's second coming. The character of those who will be translated must reflect Enoch's life, a life of faith, obedience, and holiness. Like Enoch, we are called to walk with God, live righteously, and prepare for Christ's return. May we, like Enoch, develop a faith so deep and unwavering that one day we too we'll see God face to face. Genesis establishes the foundation of prayer, praise, and worship that later unfolds throughout Scripture, pointing ultimately to Jesus, who restores full access to God's presence through his sacrifice. Father, you created us for worship, and though sin has separated us, you have given us the way back through prayer, faith, and the sacrifice of Christ. May our worship be more than words and rituals. Let it be the devotion of our hearts, the surrender of our wills, and the obedience of our lives. Like Enoch, help us to walk with you daily, growing in faith until the day we see you face to face. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.